V'lo yachlu echov la'anos oso ki nivhalu mipono. His brothers, Yosef's brothers, were not able to answer him because they were shocked because of from in front of Yosef HaTzadik. Bereishis Perek Mem Hey Pasuk Gimel, says Rashi, two words, nine letters, two of the most important words that we have in all of Tanakh, no, of the Perushim on Tanakh, I should say, Mipnei Habusha, because they were embarrassed. Says the Yalkut, brings it down, it's based on a Gemara in Tainis, Amar Bishim Ben Elazar, Oy Lanu Miyom Adin, Oy Lanu Miyom Atoichacha, woe to us from the day of ultimate judgment, woe to us from the day of ultimate Musar. Yosef, Kitanim Shol Shvatim Haya, Yosef was the smallest and the youngest of the Shvatim, obviously aside from Binyamin. Below Yachlu Echav La'anoso So Kini Valu Mipanov, and they were not able to answer him because they were shocked by him. When God comes and He reproves every single person according to what their deeds were, how much more so are we going to be embarrassed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do I have to repeat that? Easy enough. The brothers are embarrassed of Yosef HaTzadik, and we say, woe to us, because it's going to be much, much worse when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us, lost at level. A simple idea and a simple pshat. Tell me, where was Yosef's mussar that they were so shocked from in front of him? What did he say to them that was so shocking? That got them going, that was like, oh man, he just nailed us. What was the nail? Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai. That's it. Immediately they're shocked. After that pasuk, he tells them, Ani Yosef Asher Macharti Mosi Mitzrayimah, that you sold me down to Mitzrayim. But they're already shocked, and Rashi says they're already embarrassed from the first line of Yosef, of Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai. Where's the Musar? And how does that compare to a Kadosh Baruch Hu giving us Musar Loss of Lava? What's God going to do that's going to shock us the same way that Yosef shocked them? I'm telling you, Pashuk Shat Napasik makes a lot more sense. Much more sense than Rashi does. The way we're looking at it, obviously we're going to explain Rashi, is they were nivhalu mipanav. There was a bahala. They were confused. They were shocked. You're Yosef? I never would have imagined in a billion years. I never would have thought that in I don't know how many years. I never would have imagined such a thing. They're shocked by it. They're embarrassed by it. No, they were embarrassed when Yosef said the words, you sold me down to Mitzrayim. That you were embarrassed by. You're embarrassed from the fact that this is Yosef? What are you embarrassed about? What did you do? What was wrong? What were they shocked at, that first line? I will tell you, there are answers. The Pashut answers are from the word Avi. Ha'od Avi Chai. He said, my father, not Avinu Chai, Ha'od Avinu Chai. He said, Ha'od Avi Chai, saying, he's my father, not your father. Because you didn't treat him like a father by selling me down to Mitzrayim. And that was the Musar. The Musar was Ha'od Avi Chai, and the Shvatim got it, and they said, you're right, we're embarrassed. That was the first line. But in Pashup Shat in the Psukim, taking that away, it seems that there's something that Yosef was saying over here that embarrassed them so much. Without the Avi, what was it exactly? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, Musar is not Divrei Kvushin. It's not what you think it is. It's not going up to a person and screaming at him until he relents. And he says, you're right, please forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. That's not the point of Musar. Musar is not to scream and yell and get the guy to admit, you're better than I am. That's not Musar. Although sometimes that happens, until he yells mercy, that's not the ultimate idea. Musar and Tochacha is making sure that the person realizes his own mistake. Whether that's by yelling at him, or by explaining something to him, or just bringing up a pasuk. Saying a pasuk is considered tochacha and musar. That's good enough to be considered musar. If the guy realizes his own toes, the guy realizes his own mistake, and he admits, he recognizes his own mistake, he realizes what he has done wrong, then he has accepted tochacha. Once he realizes what he had done that was completely off. When they realize their mistake over here, and Yosef said, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai. And they realized that they were totally and utterly wrong in their assumptions about Yosef, that he was just a dreamer, a crazy dreaming guy who ended up being a Navi, A guy who they thought was worth nothing, who grew to be the most powerful man in all of Egypt, the person who they needed to get Parnassah. Not even Yaakov Avinu could bring Parnassah for Bnei Yisrael. They needed Yosef for their own well-being. They see what he's become and what they have to do. They realize how mistaken they were, how badly they messed up. Just him saying, Ani Yosef, they were unbelievably embarrassed. I can't believe that we didn't do anything else. He didn't need Yosef to say anything else. There was no need to give any more than that Moser. That was the greatest Moser that they could have ever heard. They almost killed a Navi. They didn't believe a Navi when he told them something. That's an unbelievable Lusha. And it didn't take much. Can you imagine? La'asid lava. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael and just says, I am God. That's all he's going to say. Anochi Hashem. You're going to look up and you're going to be like, I never would have imagined. And you know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is out there. They knew that Yosef is down in Mitzrayim. They understood that they might have done something wrong. They were even talking about it. Maybe this is all happening to us because we sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim. But it's different when you meet up with the guy. It's different when you're saying, oh, it must be because of this. And then all of a sudden you realize that it's him. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu pulls it out at the end of days, and we look up and we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we realize this, how silly we were. It's not that he shows us our mistakes. It's not that he points it out to us and says, here, this is what you did wrong. It's the shock of the revelation, what God is and what God does. At that shock, he doesn't need to tell us anything. You're immediately embarrassed. Immediately embarrassed. How can I stand up in front of you, Kadosh Baruch Hu? I didn't do one millionth of what I could have done inside this world. Now I'm embarrassed. That's the embarrassment. And that's what it means, Oy lanu miyom abusha, Oy lanu miyom tochacha. That's what it's supposed to be. And it's not anything said. There's no speech. And I know they all say there's videos and you're going to be watching your own video. And that could be. There very well could be that you're going to watch your own video. You're going to see all the things that you did wrong and they're going to show it to everybody and it's going to be like one of those blooper sessions from America's Funniest Home Videos. And everybody's going to be watching it together and everybody's like, ah, that was crazy. And you're sitting like, oh my gosh, not again. And that it could be. It could very well be that way. I have absolutely no idea. I don't know how, I'm just speaking from my point of view, if I'm at Tzaddik and I'm up there at La'asid Lavo and I'm standing there inside the world to come, I would doubt that I would take the 5 minutes out of my time up there, you know, from learning Torah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and say like, oh man, I want to go watch this guy's video. I'm not so sure I would want to do that. I'm not so sure that would happen. So I don't know what that means exactly. Somehow you are embarrassed and it seems to be that it's just an embarrassment of knowing what happened. To compare, I'll give you another line. Vayechrad Yitzchak Charada Gedola Ad Me'od. Yitzchak got very, very scared with a fear that he had never had. A great fear came upon him. From what? From realizing that he was wrong about Esav. Was he wrong about Esav? No. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to do what he was doing. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov to get the brachos and not Esav. That led him to such a fear. Not that he was told anything. Nobody said a thing to him. In fact, all Esav said is, I need Bincha Bechorcha Esav. That's all he said to him. And a Charada Gedola came upon Yitzchak like no other. What's he afraid of? What's he embarrassed of? What's he worried about? The answer is, he's worried that he made a mistake. When you realize your error, when you realize the mistake, that's what happens. Oy lanu miyom abusha. There's nothing to talk about. It's an embarrassment. We sit there and we say, what could lead us to the next level sometimes? We could sit there and we could say to ourselves, do I want to have that embarrassment? What I'm doing right now, is that worth the embarrassment, La'asid Lavo, or is it not worth the embarrassment? It goes by anything that a person can do. Is it worth it or is it not worth it? And that's the mindset that a person has to have going into it. Part one. Part two. The Shvatim were very down on themselves. Unbelievably down on themselves after this whole Maisa. I want you to think about where they've come from up until now, okay? They had already sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim and they seemed to really regret it, to really feel like it wasn't the best move. Yaakov Avinu has been upset and has not gotten Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah for the last 22 years. I assume that Yaakov Avinu was still teaching them Torah. I would assume that Yaakov Avinu was still highly involved in all of their lives, even though they were all much older right now, all over the age of 30, whatever it was. And regardless, I still think there's a connection between them all, but there's still something that's a little bit off between the relationship between themselves and Yaakov. Yehuda had a maisa with Tamar. Reuven had a maisa with Bilbil Yitzui Aviv. That happened really beforehand, and we're still doing tshuva for it even now. Shimon and Levi got into a fight with Yaakov, you know, about what happened in Shechem. There was eventually a war that happened over all that. The B'nai Shfachos were still made fun of by the B'nai Gaviros. I don't remember hearing any of the B'nai Gaviros saying, I'm sorry, to the B'nai Shfachos at any point. We have that problem as well. And instead of Yosef, the new Ben Zikunim was Binyamin. There was a Binyamin that came by. They come down to Mitzrayim because there's a rov going on in Eretz Yisrael, a hunger that's affecting the entire world. They go down to Mitzrayim, they're immediately accused of being spies, thrown into jail for 3 days, and then Shimon, the second oldest brother, is thrown in jail until they bring back Binyamin. They have to go back to Yaakovinu, convince Yaakovinu to send Binyamin with them, take on responsibility, and Yehuda literally gave up his chelek in Olam Haba in order to guarantee that Binyamin would be sent back. Reuven was willing to kill his two kids. People, think about that for a second. He's willing for his two sons to die. Two sons to die in order to make sure that Binyamin will come back. That was his guarantee. Yaakov rejected that. Said, that's not enough. That's not enough. I'm going to think about that for a second. And yet they go down. They're accused. The rub got worse. The gavia was put in Binyamin's sack. Binyamin is taken as a slave in front of Yosef, and they were willing to give themselves up as slaves forever and lose themselves in front of Yosef at Tzadik and live in Egypt for the rest of their lives, not seeing their father ever again, until Yaakov himself came down to Mitzrayim, and who knows what's going to happen to him. You can imagine. They're sitting there, and Yehuda goes for a one last ditch effort to beg of the king to just let go. And all the other Shvatim are looking at him like, you're crazy, it's never going to happen. Let's just give up, run back with Yaakov, and we'll come back, and we'll have to fight. There's nothing else we can do. We're going to have to fight for Binyamin. And Yehuda, with a last-ditch effort, knowing that his Olam Haba is on the line with Binyamin, goes up to Yosef and begs him for mercy. Now, I know the Medrash says that he's fighting him. And the Medrash we talked about on Sunday night, the whole Medrash of what's going on with Yehuda fighting Yosef, it's out. I understand that. In Pashup Shad, Yehuda's begging him, Yedaber no abducha bizne adoni, let your servant speak a little word in the eyes of my master, ki chamocha ki pharaoh, because you're like Pharaoh, and I want to be able to tell you everything I can. It seems like Yehuda is subservient to everything the Yosef Atzadik says. And can you imagine their shock and how appalled they are when all of a sudden things just work out? How crazy they must have been, where they sat there and they literally thought there was nothing they could do. And Yosef turned himself around, took off his mask, and he's like, look, I'm your brother Yosef. And he's just like, no. What kind of a shock is that? The salvation for the Shvatim literally came in 1 second. Seconds earlier, they were so sad, so upset, they're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is this happening to us? And a second later, ultimate Yeshua. Ultimate Yeshua. Bring yourself back into Yosef's shoes. Okay? Yosef is sold by the brothers, thrown into a pit full of snakes and scorpions, which he wards off with his magic kung fu. Right? He eventually is sold down to the Ishmaelim, the Midyanim, the Midanim, Sokorim, and then to Potiphar. He's sold from one person to the other. They were beating him until they got to Kever Rachel, in which case there was lightning and thunder that came down and started destroying them. That's a cool story in and of itself. Then eventually made it to Potiphar. Every single day he's running away from Ish Potiphar. One day he comes somewhat near her. She makes an accusation because of it. Ends up proving that he's guilty, so to speak, goes into jail for 12 years. I mean, 12 years. 10 years into it, he translates two dreams, the butler and the baker, and he realizes, oh my gosh, I finally have a chance to get out. And he tells the butler, it's time. And he uses bitachon, but he says to himself, listen, I need to do a little bit of ishtadlus, tells the butler, why don't you tell Paro about me? And nothing happens for 2 years. Is that crazy? For 2 years after that, he's been in jail for 12 years for something he never did. He didn't do anything. Didn't do a thing. He gets up after 12 years are over. Chazal tells us it was the night of Rosh Hashanah, and he cried all night long, says the Me'ashi Loach. All night long he cried. Woke up in the morning, and what happens to him? Well, at the exact same time, Paro had woken up, got all the chartumim together, nobody could translate the dream, the butler comes in and says, hey, what about Yosef? They run down to the jail where Yosef is getting ready to go to sleep, considering he's up all night, crying all night long. They run him out of there, Nibhalu. They were quick to bring him out. They change his clothes, they bathe him, they change his clothes, they cut his hair, and they stand him right in front of Paro. Literally, the Yeshua was Keheref Ayin. You know, the whole Purim story took place in a total of about, give or take, 48 hours. The whole Purim story. Granted, okay, Vashti was killed earlier. Esther was chosen before. But the real Purim story of Haman deciding to kill the Jews, making the lots, Esther going in, making the parties, and Haman being killed was 2 days. 2 days. Maybe 2.5 days, depending on the opinion. 2.5 days at best. It was all quick. Did you ever see all the psukim throughout the Megillah? Throughout all of Megillah's Esther is, they hurried. They hurried him. They hurried them. They hurriedly got Mordecai and put him on the horse. They hurriedly brought Haman to the palace of the king. They hurriedly took him out to be killed. Everything is quick. Because when you want a Yeshua, Yeshua happens in seconds. Seconds. You just gotta wait for it. And when it happens, Yosef will turn around. President Obama will turn himself around and turn himself into a white Jew from New York. From Muncie. Just like, hey, see, I was always Mort Goldstein. That's who I always was. That's all it is. All of a sudden, Yosef HaTzadik turns around and he says, you guys thought that I was an African king, not African American, an African king who lived in the middle of Mitzrayim? I'm not. I'm not only a Jew, I am the ultimate Jew. I'm Yosef HaTzadik. Look at him like, what in the world? Mordecai, can you imagine the shock of the people when they all found out that Esther was Jewish? They're like, what? The green girl? Are you serious? That girl's ours? She's one of ours and we didn't know it? For 6-7 years, she's been in the palace and no one had any clue? No one told anyone? That's Mordecai's wife! How did that happen? What happened there? And Mordecai's like, alright, I got a story to tell you. Wait for this story. And he waited. They waited 1 year to be able to come up with Megillah's Esther. Can you imagine what that was like for people? The shock. The craziness of the entire situation. Do you know how shocked I was when I've been trying to get rid of this mouse for like a week and a half and it appears in the sink in front of me when I'm washing dishes? Can anything be more shocking? There's nothing more shocking than seeing a mouse jump into a sink in front of you. Nothing more. Absolutely, I don't think. Maybe if he jumps in my hands, maybe that's a little more shocking. There's almost nothing more shocking than that. But Yeshua can happen terrifying. I'm not comparing the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael to the Yeshua of me having a mouse out of my house. I agree. But I am shocked that the Mouser Rebbe didn't work inside my house. The picture of the Mouser Rebbe, it is the first time that it's ever happened to me that the Mouser Rebbe didn't work. It's a crazy thing altogether, but the Yeshua of Hashem can come in 1 second. All you have to do is sit there and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's time. I want to daven for it. It's time for me to do it. That's the idea behind Yeshua. It's two huge lessons from this parsha. Although, I went off topic a little bit in what I wanted to say within Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. I wanted to go on to Kiddush Hashem. You can't skip these lessons from this parsha. The two lessons of number one, Oy Lanu Miyom Abusha. That how crazy is it going to be when all we hear is a Kaddish Baruch saying, it's me. It's God. I've come to say hello. You're just like, oh gosh. That's number one. And number two, the number two lesson is that the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come in a second. You really want to study for that final? You really think that the studying that you're going to do an hour before the final is going to help? Honestly. Listen, I've taken tests before. Okay, granted, I haven't taken college tests, but I took AP tests. You really think that studying an hour before the test is going to help you? Cramming? You should have done it 2 weeks ago. You didn't. Or some of you didn't. Or some of you that aren't here didn't. It's too late. There's nothing you can do. Whatever grade you get right now, even if you study for the next hour or 2 hours, it's not going to do anything. You're getting the same exact grade. Whatever information you're going to stuff inside your head right now, it's going to cram something else out. That's all it does. You put something in, it goes the other thing out. It's too late. There is something to cramming before tests. You guys don't know how to do it yet. No way. Not if you're doing it right now. When's the test? 3, 4? 5?
Tomorrow?
Oh, so you might have a chance. Don't do it during Saturday. That's that. We'll end with that, guys.